May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 958. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. Hymn 958.
Let us read together in the book of Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon, chapters 2 and 4. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and chapter 4. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, till he please. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Betha. Chapter 4. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof every one bare twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of a pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like the Tower of David, builded for an armoury, whereon there hang a thousand bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies until the day break and the shadows flee away. I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shenir and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under the tongue, under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates, with pleasant fruits, camphire with spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruit. May the Lord bless the reading of those two portions of his sacred word to our souls, and grant to us now the Holy Spirit's aid in prayer. Most holy and eternal, ever merciful Lord God, do look in mercy now upon a little company of poor, needy sinners, favoured to gather once more in thy earthly courts. And we pray that thou wilt look upon us, unworthy though we are, sinners though we are, but oh, that thou wilt come and meet with us this night. Give to us a sacred sense of thy presence with us. And oh, that our hearts and minds may be delivered from all carnal cares, the intruding things of time and sense. Deliver us from ourselves. Deliver us, we pray, from the enemy to our souls. Oh, may our hearts be sweetly drawn heavenward. Oh, that there may be found in our hearts a reaching forth to take hold of those rich blessings which alone are in the precious Christ, a tear redeemer. Lord, we pray that thou wilt condescend to look upon us as we would plead the precious name, the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus. That dear Saviour, the one upon whom our hopes of heaven depend. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt come and make thyself precious to us this night. Oh, do cause us to hear thy voice. Lord, that the truth might enter into our hearts, that it might do us good, that we may not be left to ourselves, to vain repetition. For Lord, those things that we're concerned with this night, thou knowest, concern our never-dying souls and concern eternity. Oh, of that great need to be found ready and prepared for that great day. Oh, leave none of us to be deceived or to come short at last, for sometimes short's the warning. But, oh, Lord, we pray that there may be found in our hearts that real hunger and thirst after the precious gospel, that we may know it poured into our hearts, the oil and wine of the gospel, that our souls might be nourished, strengthened, enabled to continue, that souls may be lifted up out of the horrible pit and the miry clay, and their feet set upon a rock, and their goings established by thee. Lord, we pray that if there are any here bound in affliction and iron, know not how to come forth, conscious of their guilt, their many transgressions, feeling condemned in their own hearts, for knowing their own insufficiency and their inability to do anything for themselves, oh, might it please you to come just where they are. Oh, do throw open those prison doors. Bring them forth. May they hear that word spoken. Loose him, loose her, and let them go. Lord, that thy name might be honoured and glorified in that poor sinner's heart. For thou knowest those who have gathered with a felt sense of their real need. They've come with a longing desire in their hearts to hear from a precious Saviour, a dear Redeemer, and to see in him all their salvation and all their desire. Oh, disappoint them not. Oh, might it please thee, this day, this evening prove to be that set time when thou wilt favour Zion, that thou wilt come and dispense thy rich blessings upon thy dear people. Oh, may we prove this night that thou hast brought us into the banqueting house, and that thy banner over us is love. These are great things we ask. Lord, we're unworthy that thou shouldest regard us. But Lord, that thou wilt come and do it for thy name's sake, that thy name might be honoured and glorified in this place, but in the hearts of poor, needy sinners. Lord, these are great things we ask, but thou art a great God, and thou wilt be inquired of the house of Israel, to do these things for them. Oh, then, might it please thee to hear thou poor petitions, the petitions of those that have gathered, for thou knowest just where each one is. But, O Lord, we pray that thou come and grant to us that spirit of real repentance and true confession. How little we know of it. Lord, we would not be left to lip confession, a form of repentance, for thou knowest our hearts, and thou knowest how great our sins are. And thou knowest, Lord, that thou art a holy, holy God. Oh, might it please thee, if it is thy holy will, Lord, that thou wilt come and make thy mighty power known in our midst. Lord, we pray for each one that has gathered, the dear young friends, and those not here this night. Lord, thou knowest where they are and what detains them. But, oh, do be with these dear young people here in their various pathways. Sanctify those paths to them. Oh, do work in their hearts, in their youthful days. They may be brought under the teaching of the Holy Spirit, shown what sinners they are, and their need of a precious Christ, that that truth may be so wrought in their hearts, that they may be found inquiring at the throne of grace, pleading, seeking, that thou wilt look upon them and have compassion upon them. Keep them from the evils of the world and the ensnaring influence of it. Keep them from the enemy to their souls. But Lord, we pray that if it is thy will, that thou wilt visit them in their youthful days and raise them up to a hope in thy mercy. Lord, we commit them unto thee. But Lord, thou knowest the difficulties that they encounter in their daily lives. Preserve them in thy fear, we pray, and keep them from the enemy to their souls. Lord, we pray for those walking in paths of troubles, trials, afflictions, temptations. Lord, thou knowest each path and each case, for hast thou not appointed it? And is it not for our spiritual profit and for thy honour and glory? Oh, that we might have a clearer view of thy loving purpose toward us in causing us to walk in these paths which are so opposite to nature, so crucifying to the flesh. But, oh Lord, if thy name is made precious to our souls, and that thou dost visit us in thy love and mercy, oh, we would bless thee for it. Lord, leave not any, oh, to be burdened and sink feelingly in unbelief and carnal fears. Lord, thou knowest how we suffer from it in our own hearts. But, O Lord, do grant to us a believing view of the dear Lord Jesus, that we may have a glimpse of him and that work which he accomplished for poor and needy sinners. But, Lord, that we may have made known to us and be found in possession of the assurance of it, that all that thou didst pass through in Gethsemane and at Calvary, it was for us. Oh, how personal it is. Lord, show to us that thou hast a purpose of love and mercy toward us, and grant to us a token, a precious seal, another touch of thy love and mercy to our souls. Lord, we pray then for this little church and congregation, and seek that thou wilt remember them as they gather here. Bless the labours of thy servants here. May they oftentimes feed under this vine. Faith strengthened, hope brightened, that there may be that growth in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And Lord, that this little church here, thou hast favoured them. Oh Lord, may there be yet an ingathering of precious souls brought to testify the wonders of thy love and mercy to a poor sinful wretch with that desire in their hearts to truly render praise and honour and glory unto the one that has done so much to redeem their souls from hell and giving to them a hope that when called from time to eternity, it will be well. We pray for the deacons here. Do be with them in their responsibilities. Grant to them thy upholding grace. And Lord, thou knowest the burden, the exercise. Lord, we pray that they may continually prove the sufficiency of thy grace, that when feeling so weak and so poor and insufficient, Lord, that they may know the power, thy power put forth in their hearts, that supply of grace, enlivening, refreshing, strengthening them, enabling them to continue. Lord, we pray for one in hospital and seek that thou remember her in much mercy as we commit her unto thee, who has worshipped here over many years. Lord, remember her now in her great age, and Lord, may it please thee to make a provision for them, for her, in thy time. Lord, thou knowest, but oh, might it please thee, oh, that thou wilt draw near unto her and see if it is thy will that a provision has been made for her, not only in time, but also in eternity. Lord, may it be the desire of each one of us to know that when the Lord Jesus Christ went to Gethsemane and at Calvary, he went to prepare a place for us, that he said, when I come again, I will take thee home to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Lord, we pray then for the Zion, thy one church. Lord, thou seest the solemnity of the day in which we live. How few gather in thy earthly courts. How little seems to be done. How little power is felt in the preaching and hearing of the word. Lord, thou knowest those souls who truly mourn, that Zion's mourners, mourning in Zion over the low state of the churches and in Zion at large. Lord, we pray that thou wilt appear. Might it please you to give to us that spirit of wrestling prayer at the throne of grace, that thou wilt turn Zion's captivity as the streams in the south. Lord, that there may be real spiritual prosperity known in the hearts of thy dear people. Thou knowest how they long for it, and Lord, desire it. Oh, then do hear their cries and ours. Visit then these souls of ours. Pierce the gloom of sin and woe. Lord, we would thank thee now for all thy blessings and favours. For truly, Lord, thou dost not deal with us according to our sins or reward us according to our iniquities. For, Lord, still we are spared. Still thou dost continue to supply our every need, both in providence and in grace. And we pray to be given a truly thankful heart. And now, as we turn to thy word, do grant to us now thy Holy Spirit's gracious help. And Lord, that for a few moments now, our hearts may be drawn heavenward after a precious Christ, a dear Redeemer. And Lord, may those desires be true and fervent, a longing desire for a touch, another word, a precious seal of his love and mercy to our souls. Lord, do pardon now all our many, many sins and all that we have asked amiss as we ask these petitions in the precious name of Jesus and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn number 807. My brethren, why these anxious fears, these warm pursuits and eager cares for earth and all its gilded toys? If the whole world you could possess, it might enchant, it could not bless. False hopes, vain pleasures, and light joys. Hymn 807.
Thank you.
the word that rests upon my spirit to bring before you this evening, as the Lord will enable me. You'll find in the second epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 3 and verse 5. The second epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 3 and verse 5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. The Apostle Paul, in writing to this Thessalonian church, who indeed were greatly blessed, and these is part of those closing commendations that he gives to the church, the word in our text, the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. And what greater desire can we have for ourselves and for those around us that this truth might be fulfilled in our experience? The Lord direct our hearts. Well, it's a vast subject. It has no bottom, brim, or shore. But as enabled, more may the dear Lord open this subject up to us in a small measure, that we may be able to comprehend a little of the wonders of this love manifested to poor, hell-deserving sinners. Now notice, the word says this: the Lord direct your hearts. You see, my dear friend, we may study God's holy word and we may read it with fervency. We may desire as we read it that the word might be blessed to our souls. But you know, my dear friend, we have no ability to enter into this glorious subject only as it is revealed to us by the work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, may the Lord then, in his mercy, remember us this evening, that we may be enabled to turn away from all things here below, the things of time and sense, for a few moments, as we desire to meditate for a few moments upon this precious truth, this wondrous truth, which to a living soul is so precious. For it is in the intimation of it, by the work of the Holy Spirit, that a soul is blessed. The Lord direct your hearts. Well, we have no strength, no power of our own. As we said just now, we can diligently read God's word, study the context, read the references concerning it. But my dear friend, unless the Lord by his dear Holy Spirit directs us into this word, it'll be of no value to us. It'll be no comfort to us. It'll be but an academic exercise. And so how dependent we are as we consider these most holy things. And May the dear Lord enable us this evening. The Lord direct your hearts. You see, it's not our minds. It's not our intellect. Oh, we may understand the truth. We may receive the truth into our minds. We may admire the truth. But oh, beloved friend, the reality is in the power of the word, the power of the truth, which is accompanied when the word is applied to our hearts and consciences. It's our hearts, you see, my dear friend. Real religion is heart work. And the Lord's people know it. When first they're shown what their hearts are by nature, their sinful condition, how wretched they are and poor and ignorant and foolish, as the Holy Spirit shows to a child of God what their sins deserve and the solemn punishment for sin, and shows to them that there is a never-ending eternity, and soon we shall have to leave this world and enter into eternity and spend eternity either in hell or in heaven. My dear friend, these are solemn realities, and they are realities and truths which the Lord's people know. And through the consideration of them, as they're given that meditation, their great, their chief concern is this, and yours, and it will be with me, my dear friend. Am I right? Am I ready? If when the Lord should come and call me from time to eternity. But you know, these characters who know this love, the love of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Oh, how favoured they are. You see, dear friend, it's to realise this, that what we are and what our sins deserve, and yet to a poor, needy sinner, one of God's chosen people, to realise this, that there's nothing in them to commend them to a holy, holy God. We're unworthy that we should be regarded, that the Lord should look upon us in his divine compassion. Now, my dear friend, let's trace first of all God's love to his dear people in eternity past. He set his love upon a certain number, whom he chose, to whom he'd intended to display the wonders of his grace as they come into this world and are brought under the leading and teaching of the Holy Spirit. The love of God. He knows all about his chosen people. Before they were born into this world, before this world was created, he knew the paths that we would walk in. He knew the sins that we would commit. And he knew how many those sins would be. And how, when born in sin and shapen in iniquity, then our hearts would be at enmity against God. He knew it all. And yet, he singled out a few, a certain number, to whom he set his love, on whom he set his love upon, who would know the rich blessings which he has laid up for each one of his dear people. The love of God. You see, my dear friend, a child of God is brought to realize this, that when they're quickened into divine life and to realize what their sins are and what their sins deserve, they cannot see. However, they can be the recipients of this great love which she has toward each one of his dear people. You see, he chose us not because of anything in us. My dear friend, he did it for this one glorious purpose. It was to display the wonders of his grace, but also it's this, that each one of his dear people in when called from time to eternity, although they will know it here below, they'll render praise and honour and glory unto their God, the purpose for which mankind was created, when man was created out of dust, the very beginning of time. Now, my dear friend, this love is beyond comprehension. And when the Lord quickens a soul and shows to them what their sins are and how great they are, they cannot see how they can be the objects of God's love in such a condition. And it fills our heart with shame. But my dear friend, that love, when it is manifested, as indeed it is, to all of the Lord's people here below, they'll have those tokens of his love and mercy toward them. There'll be one conscious, each one will be conscious. They deserve nothing at his hand, but it's alone through the wonders of his love toward us. A holy God, loving poor hell deserving sinners, we defiled throughout by sin. God, who is infinitely holy, who has given us righteous laws which we've disobeyed from the very moment of our birth, had nothing to do with the things of God by nature. And yet, through God's mercy and the depth and breadth of his love, he chose this number, whom no man can number, whom he will bring home to glory, to be with him forever. The love of God to poor, needy sinners. God the Father, now the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to his dear people, my dear friend, each one of his chosen ones were given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was with that one purpose, to reconcile them to a holy, holy God in the person of the dear Saviour who stood in the room and place of every one of his dear people. You see, man can do nothing to deliver themselves from the just deserts of our sin. But if the Lord is to have mercy upon us, that first covenant must be satisfied. The demands of God that holy law should be obeyed. If ever we're found in that second covenant, that first covenant must be clear. And God himself provided a means whereby that covenant, which was this, do and live, disobey and die, as we know that solemn sentence in Eden's garden. Well, the provision God made for each one of his dear people. He sent his beloved Son into this sin-cursed earth to stand in the room and place of his dear people, to do everything that you and I could never do to satisfy God's justice, an impossibility, because we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. But he made the provision of the dear Saviour, his beloved Son, should come into this world and accomplish all that God's justice demanded, that his people could never ever meet and satisfy. The Lord Jesus Christ came to stand in a room and place of his people. He lived a perfect life. He obeyed that holy law of his Father completely, because he was in a sane able so to do, because he took our nature and thereby fulfill that law in every aspect of it, that the demands of that law might be removed because it had been done by him for each one of his dear people. He went to Gethsemane and to Calvary. Oh, what love is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ should lay aside his heavenly throne to come upon this earth, walk here below, suffer in his body and soul the punishment due to his people for their sins. He poured out his wrath upon his beloved Son, that wrath that his people would know eternally when called from time to eternity. But the Lord, dear Lord Jesus, bore the curse of sin. He bore the punishment due to his people for their sins. And he shed his blood to atone for their sins. A perfect sacrifice, a perfect satisfaction, which God demanded and the dear Saviour fulfilled for his dear people. He suffered, he bled and died, laid down his life, that his dear people might live eternally. Oh, my dear friend, contemplate, as enabled by the Holy Spirit, how great that love must have been, that he should come to save such sinful wretches as you and I will feel to be, and to see it's alone through the wonders of God's love and the wonders of his grace that he should so provide a way and a means whereby his people should be saved from the solemn consequence of their sins and be reconciled to a holy, holy God. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we would desire to dwell here for a few moments, because you know, if a child of God is being led and taught by the dear Holy Spirit, they'll know and long to know this love as they journey through this wilderness. To know not only that they're the subjects of his love, but to know that and have the testimony of it in their soul's experience, to know and have a sweet word from the dear Saviour himself telling us that we are amongst his people. He cares for each one of them. He provides for them. He upholds them. And he it is that preserves them and keeps them through their journey here below, through his love to his people, for whom he paid that great price in Gethsemane and at Calvary. The love of Christ to a poor, needy sinner. Now that's difficult for us naturally to comprehend. But when the dear Holy Spirit opens it up to us and shows us a little of it, and we read those chapters in the book of the Song of Solomon, we read it with a purpose, for there we have the manifestations of that love to poor, needy sinners. He speaks to his bride, he the heavenly bridegroom, the bride which he purchased with his own heart's blood. We read of him in those two sweet chapters speaking of love and mercy to his bride. We read together this: my beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. Now, he said, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come. He said, O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his bride, his church. And what demonstrations of his love to his dear people is found in these words and throughout this sweet book. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. And we find in that following chapter, behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his beloved church, his dear people, whom he redeemed. My dear friend, it's beyond our comprehension naturally. But oh, you know, if the Lord opened it up a little to us, oh, how precious he is, that despite all our sins and all our transgressions, our backslidings, our sinful heart wanderings, yet still his love remains the same. It cannot change. It's from everlasting to everlasting. It's eternal love, unmoved, can never be exhausted. His love to his church. What love this is, my dear friend. It's beyond anything that we can contemplate. But when the Lord shows it to us, first he shows us ourselves, and then he shows to us a little of what he has done for us. The magnitude, the depth of that love to a sinful wretch, there'll be cause to render praise and honour and glory unto him. Come with me from Lebanon, he said, my spouse, from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shenir and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love. My dear friend, these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking unto his church. Have we heard his voice of love and mercy? Because you know in his dealings with us, they're all in love and mercy. Our paths, he knows. The paths that he calls, he's going to cause us to walk in. He has a purpose in it. Oh, how foolish of us to seek to rebel when it doesn't suit us. It's opposite to our carnal nature. Ah, it may be hard to bear. It may be very trying and perplexing. But if we're amongst these chosen ones, my dear friend, it's all in love and mercy to your soul and mine. He has appointed the path to show to us more and more of what is in our own hearts. But he's causing to walk in that path to show to us the wonders of his love, his compassion, his faithfulness. For who is it that upholds us, maintains us, grants to us all sufficient grace, who keeps and preserves his dear people in the hour of temptation? The Lord, dear Lord, knows every aspect of that path that he's appointed for us, and he knows what he is determined to accomplish in that path. And it'll be this: it'll be profitable to our souls. But it will be, and the Lord will know and have it so. We shall see in that path, and the deliverance that comes in his time and in his way, we see it is out of love to our souls, because there's been that done in our heart. And it's in those paths, my dear friend, the Lord often visits his people. He gives to them sweet tokens of his love as he sustains and maintains them. Those precious promises that he gives to them in that path. And he brings each one to the throne of grace to depend wholly upon the dear Lord Jesus, to uphold and strengthen us and to spring us through. It's the exercise of living faith. Do we know these things, my dear friend? A child of God does, because you see there's much we have to learn about ourselves, and there's much that we shall have to be delivered from. Those things are so offensive to a holy God, and the Lord Jesus Christ so graciously, so compassionately, displaying such pity to poor, wretched sinners. His love toward them is beyond conception great, the hymn writer says. The love of Christ to a poor, hell-deserving sinner. Oh, may the Lord enable us to look back at some of those times when the Lord has brought us into affliction, it may be, or in some trial or trouble. We came to the end of everything. We couldn't see, however we could continue. Everything was brought into question. Those things that we thought and hoped that the Lord had done for us, now the devil wreaks riot in our poor heart, havoc in our poor heart. And oh, we begin to question is seemingly everything. This wretched sin of unbelief rises up, which is so offensive to a holy, holy God, a distrust, a disbelief of what he has done for us and the belief the Lord has conveyed to us in days gone by, is to bring us to rest more firmly, completely in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to trust in him and him alone to bring us safely through to glory at last, to bring us away from the world and the things of it. Did we not sing of it in one of those hymns? I believe it was the opening hymn, to be delivered, or the second hymn, from the world. For he has said, set your affections upon things above. And it is the Lord's fulfilling that purpose in the heart of the Lord's living family. The love of Christ to a poor, needy sinner. Now what is the effect of it in the heart of that child of God? When they see themselves so vile, so black, and to see the wonders and the depth and the measure and the greatness of this love that brought the Lord of life and glory into this world to save our souls from hell and to have a sweet token of his love and mercy to us. My dear friend, there'll be that found within your heart and mine, a love to the dear Lord Jesus. It cannot but be, my dear friend, when we realise what we've been saved from, despite all our sins and all our many transgressions, to see that it's alone through the love of God, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, to these souls, thereby to prepare them for that eternal habitation, to be forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. We must hasten the love of the dear Holy Spirit, that triune Jehovah, the three-one God, the love of the Holy Spirit. In that appointed time, that soul is quickened into divine life, shown a little of what is in their own hearts. Here it is that brings them to a realization of sin, and to realize that we stand before a holy God, condemned on account of our many sins and transgressions. He brings us away from the world, the love of the world. He takes away the pleasures of it in those early days. And we begin to see how great our need is, how extreme our poverty, spiritual poverty is, and brought to cry for mercy. The dear Holy Spirit brings that one to that place at the footstool of mercy, and plead with God that he'd look up, that he'd look upon them in his divine compassion, acknowledging that they've sinned against him, and to plead the precious name of Jesus, the one who came into this world to stand in the room and place of every one of his dear people, to redeem their souls from the just deserts of their sins, and to bring them safely home to glory at last. It's the dear Holy Spirit that works in your poor heart and mine, we humbly trust, as we are preserved and kept and maintained. That struggle that goes on between the old man and the new, that flesh, the flesh and the spirit, what a struggle it is, oftentimes. And we find we have no power, no strength of our own. But it's the dear Holy Spirit that maintains that one, watches over that one. When we stray, my dear friend, the Holy Spirit knows it. And how sweet it is when we are drawn back, the work of the Holy Spirit. And again, that which we know, that which the Lord has conveyed to us, of his wondrous love, his mercy, the provision that he has made for his dear people, it's the dear Holy Spirit that takes of the things of Jesus and reveals them to poor, needy sinners. Oh, my dear friend, the apostle said this in an exhortation to one of the epistles, grieve not the Spirit. And my dear friend, when we seek to struggle against that work of grace in our hearts, when he's drawing us away from self and the creature, and being drawn to a precious Christ. You know, my dear friend, how the flesh sometimes struggles, dislikes the way, but faith approves it well. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and the patient waiting for Christ. And that is, my dear friend, that patient waiting where a child of God is brought to see there's nothing in this world that they can rest upon, can be satisfied with. There's nothing in self, in all that is of the creature. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit as he takes and prepares that one for their eternal habitation, as he applies the precious truths of the gospel in their hearts, drawn away from self, the world and sin, and to be prepared for that change which awaits each one. Having that received, that token in their hearts of his God's love to his dear people, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to see that it is a work of grace, and when that work of grace is completed, then that call will come to leave this world a prepared soul for a prepared place to be forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my dear friend, that's the prospect of a living soul. Do you have that prospect? Oh, you say, I'm so tried about it as the reality of my religion, as to what I know, what the Lord has revealed to me. I'm so tried. Well, my dear friend, we are tried. It's to prove us, and to prove that that which the Lord has given to us remains in our heart, despite all that comes against us. The enemy, our own sinful nature, the world and sin. That one is prepared for that eternal habitation. And you know the Lord's people are all brought home to glory as a shock of corn fully ripe. Everyone prepared for their eternal habitation and to enter into glory, to sing his glorious praises forever and ever, that eternal song unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. It'll take an eternity, my dear friend. Oh, that song is never ending, because it will be this as we behold the wonders of God's grace, his love and mercy to us, that such a wretch should be singled out, be the subject of God's mercy, reconciled to God, and to one day be forever with him singing his glorious praises. Well, it's a precious subject, my dear friend. Oh, is your heart drawn out a little to know more of this love, to feel this love in your poor heart? I believe it will from time to time, and only the dear Holy Spirit can do it. Those times when he comes and sheds abroad his love within our hearts. Precious moments, aren't they, my dear friend? It's those times when the world and self and sin is kept away from us for a few moments, a very short space of time it may be, to meditate and to reflect, and to that song of praise coming forth from our lips, rendering praise and honour and glory unto him. Well, I leave the word with you. If the Lord was to come and fulfil this word in your poor heart tonight, my dear friend, I believe you would rejoice, and you'll want to speak of it and to tell of the wonders of God's redeeming love, the love of Christ to a poor, needy sinner. Amen.
God willing, Mr. John Rosier will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Wheatley on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 687. Ye broken hearts all, who cry out unclean, and taste of the gall of indwelling sin, lamenting it truly, and loathing it too, and seeking help duly, as sinners must do. The Lord whom ye seek is nigh to your call, attends when you speak, nor lets a word fall. Your sorrow and sighing are felt in his breast. He pities your crying and will give you rest. Hymn 687.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, do bless thine own word, and do pardon all that has been amiss in our worship this evening. But may there be that which remains in our hearts that we may feed upon and render praise unto thee. Watch over us now as we part. Grant journeying mercies, and be with us now through the remainder of our little lives, and prepare us each for eternity. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest upon and be with you all. Amen.